This is Gamercast episode 353, Xbox One release date. This is the show recorded on the 9th of September, 20 foot in. Yeah, I'm your host, my name's Paul, and joining me this week, as always, is Catherine.
Hello.
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 So, yeah, I mean, everything's gone a bit quiet now that, you know, Gamescom has happened, and everyone's waiting for the launch of GTA 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's gone a bit quiet. I mean, Sony had, like, a pre-TGS style conference-y thing today, where they announced a couple of things, which we'll talk about a little later. But otherwise, yeah, very quiet.
Yeah, Sony being super arrogant when it comes to their home audience. Saying you're not getting one, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
I feel bad for anyone who's launching the same week as GTA 5. Just thinking about GTA 5 and how much it will sell. People have been waiting years for this.
Now for the news.
So, yeah, the start. I'm sorry, why was my comment so weird? I didn't think it was weird. Anyway, I suppose one of the big announcements that happened last week that we just kind of missed because of when they decided to announce it.
Well, yeah, it was the day after GamerCast, wasn't it?
Which is really annoying sometimes when people decide to do random announcements on, like, Tuesdays and Wednesdays and stuff like that. Because we just miss out on it.
Do it on Sundays.
On a Sunday, when everyone else is not on the internet.
So yeah, Xbox One, worldwide release date 22nd of November.
Yes. Which is quite nice. That worldwide market is 13...
It's the 13 released window countries.
Australia, Austria, Brazil, Canada, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Mexico, New Zealand, Spain, the UK, and America. No confirmation on the date for those outside of the window. Of course, they've said for people they've said next year. For people like, is it Sweden, Belgium, places like that, where they're not localizing Kinect or doing the languagey stuff straight away, we'll get it next year with a free game, which is really nice. But yeah, so November 22nd, that's at least in the UK, before the PlayStation 4 release. In America, though, however, it's, of course, a little bit later. That was kind of the only announcement, really, with their stuff. Oh, I suppose they said what they clocked the... Was it 10 hertz high or whatever? You know, they put the faster processors in it.
They're running the processors at a higher clock speed.
Yeah.
Because they were getting better yields than they expected. So, yeah.
So that's cool. GTA 5...
They also, however, talked about all the cool hardware on the Xbox One. And it's, you know, despite all the FUD about, oh, the PS4's got a couple of extra shaders, blah-de-blah. The Xbox One has got loads of dedicated bits in it just to handle things. It's got the biggest flipping CPU, you know, well, CPU GPU because it's all combined onto a single die. Giant flipping processor in the world with loads of dedicated modules on it. And loads of stuff like that. We also found out it's got 8GB of memory built into the motherboard as well, which obviously may be used for its own operating system and things like that, which is good. So yeah, it's got like a dedicated audio processor, so no audio is running on the CPU at all. It's all off-handled by another dedicated chip. It can do things like texturization separately, not on the GPU. And we can also found out that the eSRAM can be used as a buffer. So rather than the conventional way of how everything else has to do things, which is utilize the DDR3 bandwidth to transfer from the GPU to the CPU, it can go through that buffer at the obviously much higher bandwidth. So I suspect we'll actually see better Xbox One performance than PS4. Despite what Sony have always said and say all the time about everything. Our motion engine more powerful than everything. Our cell processor supercomputer. Yes, Sony.
Okay.
We believe everything you say with your off-the-shelf, hobbled-together PC hardware that barely works with its high-latency flipping memory. Yeah.
Cool. So next up, GTA 5.
Why are we talking about this?
Because so GTA 5 is of course coming out on 17th of September, which is next Tuesday.
Hey,
chat
room, how's it going?
So that's pretty cool. I know loads of people looking forward to GTA 5. I'm looking forward to picking up my hat edition, as I call it.
No PC, no play.
Well, you're not gonna play. I'll give it.
Xbox One, I might play, but to be honest, I'd probably still rather play on the PC. Mm. Well, I would rather play on the PC. If I use the Xbox, I have to be downstairs.
Oh, no. In my nest of a sofa.
In the nest.
So, yeah, this was mainly just going to... Just saying how Game are doing midnight launches, as you might expect for GTA 5. All of their stores, bar two, are doing midnight launches. Those two are Hammersmith and Skegness.
I'm shocked.
So if you live near those stores, you'll have to pop to another one if you want to get it at midnight. Otherwise, a lot of stores are doing early openings. Not all the stores are doing them. But a fair amount are, and you'll be able to pop to your local Game between 8 and 8.30. Most stores usually, of course, open about 9-ish. But it depends on the store, so pop in your local and ask, and they'll be able to inform you. But yeah, so that's quite cool. I'm looking forward to that. I'm fine, you're not looking forward to that. Beyond Two Souls, so I went to a BAFTA talk for this last week. It was fun. David Cage is a really, really nice guy. But this is actually news. I thought I'd just put in about the BAFTA talk because it was really fun. And yeah, so Sony have announced that they're going to be releasing a public demo for Beyond Two Souls, which presumably is the demo that's been shown at events and stuff. Like, they had it playable at BAFTA, but it's not the kind of game I want to play a demo for. Just like with Heavy Rain, you don't want to spoil that experience. And I want to, you know, experience it for myself, as opposed to in a room full of other people, just in a loud area. So yeah, they're releasing a demo, which comes out on the PlayStation Network on October 2nd. However, if you pre-order Beyond Two Souls from Game, you can get access to the demo a week earlier from September 25th. I'm unsure of how you actually get this access. I need to pop into my local store to find out, because I've got a pre-order down for the nice special edition in the tin. But yeah, whether it's a code that you input or...
Well, there's going to be a code in there.
I would love it to be a physical demo, like a disc. I miss that. Going, like, pre-ordering a game in Game or EB and popping down to the store and then getting a disc. Like, I remember pre-ordering, like, Resident Evil on the Cube, was it?
I remember pre-ordering Quake 2.
Was it on the Cube? Or was it actually Code Veronica on the PS2?
And I getting like the Shareware version too.
Getting Wesker's Report, and Shareware. I remember getting like a few other things. We've got them like back home, and it's just these randomly made game branded things with like a making of inside and stuff like that. I like it. I would love for Sony to give Game physical discs, but it probably won't happen. Either way, it features two levels from the final game. The game itself, of course, is out on October 11th on PlayStation 3. And I think it'll be cool. This is like GamerCast, sponsored by Game. another game thing. So they're doing lock-ins for FIFA 14. So I thought I'd just mention that, which are running from yesterday until the 22nd of September. Apparently there's actually a demo coming out for FIFA on Tuesday. Whether that's
Tuesday tomorrow, Tuesday?
I just realised that because I just said Tuesday and I'm like, oh, which Tuesday? It was an email I had. Damn. I'm sorry. I'm not a FIFA person, am I?
It's FIFA. Who cares?
What was it? FIFA.
FIFA 14. Launch title for Xbox One.
FIFA 14 demo out Tuesday. This will open in time. Okay, I'll tell you. Come on, email. You can do it. 10th of September, so tomorrow. So yeah, I mean, you can, of course, pick up the demo, or if you want to, I guess, go and play with other people.
Nope.
You can go to one of the lock-ins. You can find out more info on the Game website. If you go all the way down the bottom, they've got a bit called Store Events in tiny print. If you click on that, it will tell you all the stores they're doing it.
So how much money are we getting for this? Hit them up on Twitter. Say we want 1,000 pounds.
Next up, Rebellion have announced Sniper Elite Nazi Zombie Army 2. So they released a demo, a trailer, the middle of last week, which I actually missed out on. And then they announced, the announcement of Nazi Zombie Army 2. So this is a sequel to Nazi Zombie Army, which came out late last year, I think it was. I don't know. I can't remember if it came out around Halloween or not. But yeah, they apparently did quite well, and they wanted to then release a sequel for it, which is quite nice. Because it had mixed reviews, but once again, it's a standalone sequel to Nazi Zombie Army. It's launching. Gosh, my words are all over the place. On PC later this year, and other platforms, which are to be confirmed. They would apparently love to release it on other platforms. You can get pre-order notifications if you go. I think that's on their blog. A new campaign for up to 4 players, new environments, new enemies, and new animations, and it includes the enemy multiplier feature added to the first game, allowing players to change the number of enemies they face, so you could then enhance the difficulty. Next up, Total War Rome 2 news, which Paul is actually playing right now. That's why my face is slightly, I suppose, burgundy red tinged because of the loading screen. So that my thing on Rome 2 was just a brief mention that a patch was released on Friday for anyone who doesn't know, fixing a few issues here and there. They're also planning to tweak the balancing AI routines and other features now that they're getting real-time metric feedback from thousands of players. First update was on Friday, and they plan to update the game on a weekly basis in the immediate future. So that's nice of them. Paul's been playing it a little bit, I'd say. Eurogamer Expo news. So this is happening quite soon, actually, now. It's the end of the month. So is it 26th to 29th? Yeah, I got that right. 26th to 29th in Earls Court. Just a few announcements of a couple of games that they've now said are happening. Firstly, Eurogamer Expo is sold out now. I know Virgin are giving away some tickets because they're, of course, like a media partner, and they had a competition, I think it's still running unless it's finished, for getting a high score in Super Hexagon, and you could win tickets through them. I'm a bit confused to why it's sold out. Not being mean, but I think they don't really have an impressive lineup yet. At least that's what I think. Charles, under the same impression as well, that right now there's nothing really that's kind of, hey, I really need to go to this and play this game. They announced a few games this week, and I'm like, oh, I could go play that because I missed out on at E3, for example. But yeah, that and the fact that they haven't actually announced developer sessions yet, which seems a bit strange because it's getting a bit late. But yeah, so Nintendo announced a few games they've got there. So they've got, on the Wii U, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, the new Donkey Kong game, Sonic Lost World, The Wonderful 101, which is, of course, out now, Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD, which is coming out October, Super Mario 3D World, and Bayonetta 2. Bayonetta 2 is one of the games I'd like to try out. On the 3DS, they've got the new Zelda, which I'd like to see as well, which is A Link Between Worlds. They've also got Sonic Lost World on the 3DS, as well as Pokemon X and Pokemon Y. Then they've also got some games in the indie area, because, of course, they're kind of trying to up the indie kind of production for Wii U titles. So that includes Cube, which is a PC game, of course, for anyone who knows Cube. Scram Kitty and His Buddy on Rails, Tengami, Knit Underground, and Coaster Crazy Deluxe. And they've also got, I believe, in the Indie Zone as well. I guess that's the Indie Zone. Yeah. On 3DS, they've got Steam World Dig, Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, Retro City Rampage, and Putty Squad. They've also got, as they have had for like the last two or so years, a Nintendo Live Street Pass Zone, where they're going to try and get people doing tournaments this time around, as well as, of course, just doing street passing, so that's always nice. Microsoft have also announced their attendance at the show, having the Xbox One there, and visitors will be able to play Forza 5, Rise, Killer Instinct, Kinect Sports Rivals, and Project Spark. Might be tempted to have a go on Kinect Sports Rivals if the queues aren't too big. See how that is improved, do you think? And Project Spark's always quite cool. Maybe they'll have it on some tablets and be able to give it a go on that. I joined the beta that they've got for Windows 8, but I haven't really heard anything yet. But I think it'd be nice to have a play with Project Spark to see what they're kind of... It's not... Well, it's kind of a scripting system, but... you know, a kind of simplified scripting system, so lots of people can get on with it. But I'd like to see a lot more on that. And then they've also got a theatre demo for Dead Rising 3, so it's still not playable. Which is... maybe they just don't want to do a public demo for people to play, potentially. And Phil Harris...
maybe they're just busy getting it ready for release.
Yeah, they probably are.
They don't want to waste the time developing a publicly playable demo, which will obviously need a lot more polishing.
Yeah, you've got to get, you know, people testing all that kind of stuff if it's a hands-on. Yeah, so they've also got Phil Harrison on stage doing a presentation, which is at 12 p.m. on the Thursday. It's also going to be streamed online at youtube.com/Eurogamer. So they'll hopefully be streaming all their talks, which they usually do anyway. Because, of course, not everyone can get, say... well, of course, the tickets are sold out now anyway. But not everyone could have bought tickets or attended on the Thursday and the Friday, because if they're at work, but you'll be able to at least catch up on the developer sessions otherwise. So, yeah, that's Xbox One stuff. And then today as well, they announced that Titanfall will be playable. Well, it says a large presence on the show floor. Yeah. They'll have 6v6 multiplayer games on the show floor. They haven't said what they've got it playable on. I would guess PC. But then maybe they'd have it playable on Xbox One. Who knows? Either way, Titanfall's there now, so I'm sure a lot of people are excited for that. So that'll probably take up a lot of EA's floor space, and they'll probably have the big... mech guys, wow. So that's cool. I might try and see if Charlotte wants to play some Titanfall. Okay, so that's Eurogamer Expo News. Next up, Space Hulk Deathwing. So they've announced a Deathwing expansion, which allows their, the flipping guys that Charlotte plays. Well, she hasn't, properly play them, because Charlotte's a Tyranid player. So it's Tyranid related though, but I thought there was Tyranid stuff in it anyway. Desperate battle against Tyranid genes dealers aboard the claustrophobic tunnels of the massive Space Hulk. But yeah, I know a few people that are a little bit disappointed by this Deathwing expansion, because of the trailer. Charlotte loved it, but I know people that also thought it made them not look how you'd expect them to be in the game. Terminators? No, it's not Terminators. They're like Terminators. Sure, if Charlotte was listening right now, she would be correcting me. However, she's not. So, yeah. I'm not a huge Games Workshop person, though. The picture became a bit laggy when loading. Next up, Euro Truck Simulator 2 news. They are releasing the Go East expansion over in the UK. So Excalibur Publishing releasing over here, which is the first official expansion for the Eurotruck series. Well, at least for the number two anyway. It's adding 13 new cities and taking the full total of cities that you can actually drive around in your truck in to over 70. Go East adds Eastern Europe, allowing you to haul your goods across Poland, Czech Republic, Hungary and Slovakia. So yeah, that's coming out September 20th for a retail price of £10 if you would like to go across Poland in a truck. PlayStation 4 news. So some of this I was kind of going to mention because I hadn't actually mentioned it before because I didn't find the kind of press release for it. But a little while back, Sony announced their launch window titles. They announced it when they announced the release date, and I was kind of thinking, you know, at some point they'll announce the games that are coming out on day one of the console. However, I don't think they're going to do that. But what they have done, they've said, 15 retail titles and 33 digital titles are coming out between launch and the end of the year. So pretty much...
digital titles? Wait, we can't trade those in, can we?
No. Yeah, so there's only 15 games, I suppose.
So we can't lend those games to our mates, can we?
No. So yeah, it's for the month window that the console's been released for until the end of the year. So the titles are Drive Club, Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, Basement Crawl, that's a digital game, Battlefield 4, Call of Duty Ghosts, Contrast, digital. When I say digital, it's at the end of it, not that that's the full title. Counter Spy Digital, DC Universe Digital, Doki Doki Universe Digital, FIFA 14, Flower Digital, Hohokam Digital, Just Dance 2014. Although I think some of these might be not Vita as well, are they? I don't know. I thought Flower was coming out on Vita, but I've got Flower on this list. Hohokam Digital, Just Dance 2014, Killzone Shadowfall, Knack, Lego Marvel Superheroes, Madden 25, Minecraft Digital, N++ Digital, NBA 2K14, NBA Live, Need for Speed Rivals, Pool Nation Extreme Digital, Pinball Arcade Digital, Planet Side 2 Digital, Rezogun Digital, Skylanders Swap Force, Tiny Brains Digital, Warframe, War Thunder, Watch Dogs. I think Warframe and War Thunder are both retail, or it might be one of them isn't. But either way, they're coming out in the window. There's a lot of other cool kind of games coming out as well, of course. The ones I'm interested in things like Everyone's Gone to the Rapture, Rime, Velocity 2X. So, I mean, they've got a lot on the burner. Sadly, not many actual confirmed dates for many games. But, I mean, the same can be said for some of the Xbox One titles that I want. Like, I want to see a D4, but I don't know when that's coming out. Same with Below. Kind of two games I'm really looking forward to on that. And as well as that, Sony announced today the date that the PlayStation 4 is coming out in Japan, which is February 22nd. Along with that, they're going to get a free copy of Knack for anyone who pre-orders. It's a little sad that it's like the first time that a Sony console is not launching in Japan on the kind of, well, as the first region to get it. Because of course with you know, PS1, PS2, PS3, PlayStation Vita, they've all launched in Japan first, because of course, you know, that's kind of the market it comes from, I guess. Yeah.
Yes, I wonder how the Japanese home market will see this. Perhaps they see it as a giant FU to them from an arrogant Sony.
Like, there's a few things that have said. One of the reasons that they've got a longer wait expected is to ensure they've got time to prepare a selection of software that is suitable for the region.
Yeah, COD and FIFA don't go down very well in Japan.
Like, a lot of the titles coming out, the same for the Xbox One, are there's a lot of sports because EA are releasing a lot of games. And the other games as well, it's like things like Just Dance. I don't know if Just Dance does any well over in Japan. I wouldn't think so. I'm not sure though. But it's the same with things like, you know, Battlefield as well. But yeah, I think it's a shame.
It's what I said back in June, wasn't it?
They've got quite a long way. Usually it's the other way around.
They need the stock in other markets. That's what it comes down to.
And as you said earlier, you know, there's probably some localization added in there as well, having localized for Japanese markets.
Yeah, but you've got to think the software is probably written largely in Japanese to start with.
Depends on the game. As well as that, they announced today that they're doing a new cut down version of the PlayStation Vita. So
I meant the PlayStation operating system.
Okay. True.
Sony saying, oh, we need more games before we launch it. It's just an excuse. If you need more games to launch it, why are you only launching it with a dozen games in everywhere else? A dozen games. That's pathetic.
They also announced a new PlayStation Vita today, which is a slim, light version, I suppose.
The 2000.
It hasn't got a number. I don't think it's got an official term for its name yet either.
It's PlayStation Vita 2000.
Is that official?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So they're cutting the price from it, of course, because they've made it littler. But one of the big things of it is they're taking out the OLED screen and putting in a standard LCD screen, which, of course, is cheaper to produce. But it means it probably won't have such a lovely screen that the Vita has. Because, of course, that's one of the biggest things going for it, isn't it? That's one thing that you said was nice about it. Did you go right?
No, the Vita's got a good screen.
It's got a nice screen. It's 20% thinner and 15% lighter. Battery life has also been improved to 6 hours. And
6 hours in quotation marks. 6 hours backlight off and Wi-Fi and all the other stuff off.
Yeah, I ended up having to turn off Wi-Fi and stuff to get battery life out of mine. It's also got 1 gig of onboard memory now provided, but how much of that, of course, is not used up by system memory and stuff like that, I'm not sure. Depends how much you get for free. But that's the thing I always found with my Vita, is that I ran out of space on my card really, really quickly. Like, I bought the biggest size card that you could buy in the UK when it came out, but I still managed to fill it up very quickly. And it's like, do I buy a larger one, or is it just the fact that I have to constantly delete games and add them again? It's kind of annoying. But, you know, you have to live with it. So yeah, the console's coming out in a range of colours. Whether all these colours, and if it's coming out, well, when it would be coming out potentially in the UK and the USA, because this has only been announced for Japan at the moment, but it's currently coming out in Japan in white, black, grey, blue, yellow and pink, for anyone who didn't want to have a black Vita. Of course, in Japan, I think they already had a white Vita, unless I'm wrong in thinking that. But yeah, so they announced that, and then they also announced PlayStation Vita TV as well. So what this seems to be is a very small little box, which they're calling a micro console, that plugs directly into your TV and allows you to play PlayStation Vita and PSP games.
Some PlayStation Vita.
Yeah, games. I've got a list of some games here as well. Using a DualShock 3 controller, so a PS3 controller, and you can of course access streaming video and TV services that I presume are the ones that are available on PlayStation Vita as is. The unit itself is 10 centimetres long, maybe about that, and 6 centimetres wide, maybe about that, I don't know. It's launching in Japan November 14th, and is going to be about £61. And they're also bundling a version with an 8GB memory card and a DualShock 3 controller for £92. So that's quite cool, I suppose. So they've announced what games are going to be compatible with it, because the kind of first thing you think of... Well, actually, there's two things I first thought of when they announced this. One, what will a game look like scaled up on a nice TV?
Bad.
Because, of course, if you think of how little... I mean, do you know what resolution the Vita screen runs at?
Not offhand. It's similar to sort of 640 by 480. Okay. Or so, maybe it's like 700 by 600.
So if you've got a really nice big TV, it might not look that nice. It might look quite scaled up. Of course, if you're playing from far away, it might look
better than a Wii, won't it?
Mm, yeah. Don't realise how bad quality of Wii is until you go back to it, at least, and look at the menu and stuff like that. So yeah, there's that, but then also the main thing that I thought of was, you know, one of the big things of PlayStation Vita games is using the touchscreen and the touchpads on the back, but you won't have those, of course, with the DualShock 3 controller. Of course, if you're playing like PS1 games on your Vita anyway, the touchpad is what, L2 and R2, I believe, anyway. But it is kind of one of the big things, which is why I guess they've only announced a certain amount of games that are going to be working on it. So they've said Rayman Origins, Persona 4, Dead or Alive 5 Plus, and Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD are among the Vita games confirmed to be compatible with it. There are others included in a list which was spotted by a website, which includes God Eater 2, Ragnarok Odyssey, Earth Defense Force 3, and Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. They've said that the device will eventually offer a game library of about 1,300 titles, spanning release of PlayStation Vita and the original PlayStation. Apparently it also works as a remote play hub for owners of the PS4. So I read this somewhere as well earlier this morning, but it didn't make sense. Do you know?
Well, yeah, like the Vita can stream your PS4 game. So can the Vita with no screen, battery, and video out to the TV.
Okay. So what if someone was playing on a PS4 in the other room and you wanted to... Or is it that you could take it with you to a friend's house?
Well, obviously it's not going to work over the internet, despite what Sony say.
Oh, really?
At least until we get much better internet.
Oh.
But certainly on the local network you could do it, and it does have an Ethernet jack on the back of the device, so it's not crippled by Wi-Fi speeds.
So then I guess if you lived in a household and you had your living room downstairs and
yeah, it's like
you were a
multi-room
kid and you lived
from
upstairs,
Sky,
then you
but
could
obviously for the PlayStation.
Yeah, so you could plug it into TV in your kid's bedroom and you could let them play a game or something or watch a film.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that works okay. That makes sense.
But a lot of people are saying, oh yeah, it means we can play our PS4 games anywhere. They say that for the Vita as well, and it's like, no, do you actually understand the internet bandwidth requirements to do not only the bandwidth for the actual video stream, but also the latency?
I think the idea of it working within a house is quite nice, but of course, I guess if you're streaming it onto the Vita TV thing, that PS4 downstairs you won't be able to use wireless,
No, it'd be playing the game on it, won't it?
Yeah. So I think it's kind of nice for that aspect, though. No announcement, of course, whether it's launching in the UK or America, but presumably they'll announce something at some point and it will come out over here. I think they should release it in a variety of colours like they are with the new Vita, as opposed to, I think it was white, wasn't it, in the announcement?
Mm-hmm.
And then they also announced a new game as well today called Lily Bergamo, I think that's how you pronounce it, which is a new Grasshopper Manufacture title, which is coming out for the PlayStation 4. So this is Grasshopper Manufacture's first collaboration with Gung Ho Online Entertainment, who published Ragnarok and Dokuro, who acquired Grasshopper earlier this year. The trailer's quite sparse in showing you stuff. The girl in it, however, is quite a different style to what you'd expect from a normal Grasshopper game. But it looks really interesting, and they've said they're going to reveal more at Tokyo Game Show later this month. But yeah, there's a tease that you can watch. I imagine Charlotte's going to pop something up on the website about it, because she said she was going to. But yeah, PS4 game, so here's a new PS4 thing been announced, so that's quite cool. And then next up, just two brief mentions of videos that you can check out on our website. So for Watch Dogs, Ubisoft released a 14-minute gameplay video of the game playing and showing off the kind of online single-player seamlessy stuff, so how the people can get into your game, and just showing the open world elements of it as well. So you can check that out on our website, as well as Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag 10-minute gameplay video for people that are looking forward to both games. Of course.
Nope.
I think Watch Dogs is kind of interesting. They're doing what Mindjack tried to do. I say tried. It did do.
It's time for
Name
That
Game.
Last week, you would have heard this. Nobody guessed correctly. Complete fail. It was, of course, Total War Rome.
Is that what it was? Did I not guess that after what you'd said?
Well, I'm saying no, because if I don't have a guess at the right time, then it doesn't count. Charlotte guessed it was Giant Citizen Kabuto. Nope.
As we said, though, your quote would be, well, if it was a Giants thing, it'd be recognisable to a certain extent, because you wouldn't want to make it too easy. But yeah.
This week. Clues, 7 years old.
That reload sounded familiar. Any other clues?
You don't have a reload in it.
Is that not what that was?
Nope.
Whatever that sound was, it was familiar. Any other clues?
Nope. Multi-platform, obviously.
7 years old.
Yeah, so if anyone thinks they know what it is, feedback at gamemycast.net or leave a comment on the website on this week's episode. Since the chat room and Catherine are blank.
I recognise the sound, whatever it is.
Yeah, but you need to name the game.
Can't I just recognise it and get a little bit of G's there?
New releases this week.
First up, Puppeteer.
Mm-hmm. PS3 only game. Got announced, what, an E3 ago? Two E3 ago? No, an E3 ago. What was it, a Gamescom?
Who cares when it was announced? It's coming out this week. Also coming out is Arma 3.
Yep, this is a retail version of Arma 3, which is like the special edition or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So if you are a retard and can't buy your game digitally, you can now buy it on a disc.
Or if you'd like to own your games on discs like me, you may purchase this version.
Also coming out is NHL 14. This is one of these fun hockey games from EA Sports.
Mm-hmm. Coming out on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3.
It's in the game. Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix is also coming out on PS3 this week. This is a remake of old Kingdom Hearts games.
Yep, and it also there's also a limited edition that they've done, which comes with a Insider's book, which looks like an art book.
And then we've also got Metal Gear Solid The Legacy Collection.
Yep, this is a PS3 version of all the Metal Gear games in another bundle.
So, if you haven't already bought the 6 other re-releases they've done, now's your chance to buy it again. And lastly, the Elder Scrolls Anthology is another opportunity for you to buy some Elder Scrolls games.
However, of course, this gives you the opportunity to buy ones that you may not have ever played. So what? Daggerfall?
Arena.
Morrowind. Oblivion.
Skyrim.
Of course, this may be like the third or fourth version of Skyrim you might have bought if you purchased the other ones that they've already released. And similar with Oblivion. Or even Morrowind if you picked it up on PC, the Game of the Year edition, on 360. And all the expansions. So the games come with all the expansions as well. We mentioned it previously. So is it 2 expansions per game? Right? 2 for Morrowind, 2 for Oblivion. As well as potentially horse armor and stuff. And the... well, I suppose they are 3 for Skyrim, aren't they?
I'd say 2.
But only 2 of them are real games.
Being able to buy your own house and have a couple of quest lines associated with having a house and building it and getting married and having kids and...
aren't really expansion material.
No. So just yeah, little things in it. Little DLC horse armory type bits.
Yeah, like the Oblivion horse armor. But yeah, so it's a nice collection for anyone who hasn't played the previous games. Plus you get the maps for all the previous titles.
Arena
as well.
And Daggerfall run in a DOS emulator, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. And of course, if you want to play Morrowind, you download all the mods to make it look really pretty. And then it'll look really nice. And then you can appreciate Morrowind.
Well, obviously don't download too many mods, because you won't be playing Morrowind anymore if you download too many. Obviously, well, the texture ones yeah. I want to get, there's character faces which are improved.
Yeah.
They're like the 2 main ones I would recommend.
That's what I meant.
Don't go overboard with every mod you can find, because you'll just end up glitching the game out and you won't be able to figure out why it's glitching out, and it will ruin your game. And after 70 hours, your save game will be fracked and you'll have to start over again.
There's loads of websites, though, that have like lists of the good mods and things like that. And same with Oblivion mods as well.
Skyrimportal.com. Recommend that.
So yeah, the Anthology's only coming out on PC, so for anyone who played Skyrim
sorry,
on consoles...
noobs, there's no DOSBox simulator for consoles.
You sadly won't be able to play on those, but if you've got a PC lying around, you may be able to play the games on that, because they are fairly old. I doubt Morrowind has very harsh recommended requirements.
Morrowind was one of the first games that used the DirectX 8 water effects.
Oh yeah?
For the shiny waters. That's the main reason I bought it, to be honest. Back before I cared about anything other than graphics.
Aww.
I was like, oh wow, this game uses DX8 water crap. I need to buy this straight away. In your face, Quake Free with your no water effects at all.
Previews and or reviews.
Right, in this next section there will be spoilers. If you don't want to hear the spoilers, just turn it off now, because we're not talking about anything else after this segment. So we are reviewing Amnesia: A Machine for Pigs, which is a new Amnesia game. For those that don't know, Amnesia games are these like scary games for PC.
Yeah, so the first game
you're supposed to play in the dark with headphones and get scared.
The first game in the series was Penumbra. So fictional games made Penumbra and Amnesia: The Dark Descent. And the new game has been published and helped out by with Frictional, but it's been made by the Chinese Room, who made Dear Esther quite recently. And they're also making Everyone's Gone to the Rapture for PlayStation 4. But yeah, so I reviewed the game. That review came out today on the website, which you can check out. But I didn't really want to spoil anything for people, which is why, as Paul just did a little disclaimer, if you don't want to listen to spoilers, don't listen. I mean,
yeah, turn it off now.
I mean, the thing is that it's not that it's really spoilerful stuff that I want to talk about, but it's just the things that I enjoyed from the game. And I couldn't really talk about it in the review, because if I read about them, I wouldn't be that happy. They were just like tiny little things that I really enjoyed. So things like figuring out what certain events meant in the game. So like early on, there was like an earthquake kind of thing happening, in the mansion that you start off in, and the fact that you're just like, what the hell's going on here? But it then links up later on to what's going on within the story, and there's a big machine, as you might guess from the title, underground and stuff like that. And that's really quite nice. One of the other things that I just wanted to briefly mention was there's these pig masks that you find throughout the levels. So it's kind of like the box art for the game. It's got like this pig's mask lying on the ground. Not pig's mask, like proper pig mask, like a real pig, but kind of... I'd say kind of Aztecan style. I'm probably completely wrong in saying that as a style. But it's got something going on with it, and it looks really quite cool. But they end up being really eerie in the game, because unless I was just being stupid when I was playing it, you'll just be exploring an area, and then you might go around in a circle, and then you'll come back and there's a pig's mask on like a chair or on a table or on a piano, and it wasn't there before. Or you think, was that actually there before? And they do that quite a lot throughout the game, and I think it works really well. Especially if you notice it, unless I'm just going crazy. They did a really nice moment with it, like right near the end of the game, when you could have chosen to go under some boxes and have a little investigate, and you found a note on the floor. Actually, no, I think first you found like a teddy bear, followed by some building blocks, and the main guy, Oswald Mandus, commented on it or said something about his children, and then there was a note, and then there was a pig's mask, and that was like one of the only times that they did kind of the almost insanity style stuff in the game, because one thing that it is missing from Dark Descent is a sanity meter, so from removing that, it then meant things couldn't really go wrong with the game unless you got spotted by one of the giant creatures, which are pigs, as you might guess. If you got spotted by one of those, unlike what I kind of thought would happen, which would be immediate death, I thought the second I got seen by one of these things and it attacked me, I'd be dead. However, I was wrong, because you don't actually die straight away. You can take a few hits from them, so it means you can actually manage to run away and hide, have a breather, and then get back on with playing and kind of sneak around the pigs and stuff like that. There were a few things that I thought about it, like... In some cases, there weren't enough pigs, but only in the sense that... Not that they should have overloaded the games with pigs, so you turn a corner and there'd be pigs everywhere and you'd have to somehow sneak around them. But there were some moments in the game where it felt that they could do with them, and they didn't, and it seemed a bit weird. But then there was also a moment in the game which was crazy, because they forced one on you almost. So like you had to go to a room... to go put like a pneumatic kind of tube in a cylinder in a tube machine thing, and when you did that, as you were coming back, you kind of thought you saw a pig on the way in there. As you came back, one attacked you from behind, and I thought that was quite a harsh decision for them to make, having an enemy attack you from behind. No, you don't think so? I think it kind of is. I mean, you shouldn't expect...
In real life, I quite often get attacked from behind.
By piggies. I mean, yeah, okay, as Paul has pointed out, in real life, that is what something would happen, because a predator would attack
if I was a killer when you're pig, looking. I would attack when your back is turned.
Yeah, yeah, okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that, Paul. But yeah, like... The story itself was really strange. It is basically, there's a machine under the ground. From what I can gather, turning people into pigs, or these kind of creature-like pigs. And it's a bit weird. There was one loading screen, which I thought was very strange, and from the way I read it, over and over again, trying to make sure I wasn't wrong, it was about someone doing things with a pig, and I thought that was a bit weird compared to the rest of the stuff, which was a lot more tame than that. I had to read it a few times. I might have to find that loading screen and read it again to make sure I didn't read it wrong, because it did seem a bit odd. But yeah, I thought it was a really fun game. I mean, fun because I enjoyed it. I don't get scared that easily unless I am sat in the dark and Paul puts his head in front of me when I don't expect him coming. Other than that, I don't really get too scared from things like films. I don't generally find that scary if they're horror films and stuff like that. But I think that's from being desensitized to horror when I was little, maybe. I'm not sure. I know I used to watch like a lot of horror films when I was little. But yeah, so I didn't find myself that tense with the game. But I did have a moment where I was completely on edge because I was having to run away. I'm not going to say what I was running away from because that's like right at the end. But it was the first time that I did that, and I thought it was quite cool. Because I was on edge to a certain extent during the game, because I was trying to hide from what I suspected were pigs around the corners and stuff like that. But otherwise, yeah, I thought it was really cool. The sound design is amazing. They've got some brilliant music in there. I can't wait to get the soundtrack if they release it. But along with the soundtrack, they've got these really nice sound effects going on. I think it sounds it's all a lot nicer than The Dark Descent. Loads of people say Dark Descent has amazing sound design, but I played it for a bit last night because I hadn't actually gotten a chance to play it before, even though I've owned it on Steam for probably a couple of years now. Yeah, I played it for a bit and I don't know. I know it's an older game, so, you know, it's got that, but it really made me realise how much effort they've put into a Machine for Pigs. Like, it's a great storytelling experience. That's what I see it as. Horror. A little bit of horror, or a bit of horror, with some great tension and stuff like that. Tension building. With a nice story kind of smothered over the top.
Like jam.
Like jam.
Or pig poop.
Or pig poop. But yeah, it's really cool. It's got a great soundtrack. It plays well. You don't have any way to hurt piggies, just like you didn't in their previous games.
What? It's not like Call of Duty.
Yeah, there's like no shotgun and stuff.
What?
What are you gonna do? No prestige points and crap.
What? I'm prestiged.
But yeah, I mean, if you want to read like my kind of general view of it without any kind of spoilers whatsoever,
check out the website. Yeah. At www.gamercast.net.
Yeah. Really well written, nice voice acting, all round great game. It lasted about 7 hours, which I thought was a good chunk for the price of it. Like, it's $12.99 for 7 hours, which I think is okay. Considering, like, I want to pick up Gone Home at the moment, which came out on Steam recently, which is $14.99, but you can finish it in 2 hours, which seems quite small for the price, but apparently it's really, really good, so I will have to give it a play. But yeah, Machine for Pigs, highly recommend it. I mean, Dark Descent fans may be a little bit disappointed in the game, but if you want something different, yet still scary, I would have a look at checking it out. Any posting on Gamer Pass?
Well, someone's got to try and get some traffic to the website.
I've already posted about it.
Yeah, but you need to spam it every now and then.
Oh, okay.
You gotta spam it.
But yeah, I gave it 5 out of 5. I really did like it. Yeah.
5 out of 5, eh?
Yeah.
And where's that to?
Right at the bottom.
We need to get a graphic for this.
Oh, yeah, we've been saying that for a while now.
Saying that for years.
5 out of 5.
And are we going to fix that bloody farming simulator review?
What's wrong with it?
I told you the other day what's wrong with it. 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, Shark's done that a few times now.
No. Just we review it, yeah, out of 5.
I know.
1 being I'm not going to buy this. 2 being I might play this if I didn't have to buy it. 3 being I'm tempted to buy this if it's cheap and play it. 4 being I'm probably going to buy this and play it. 5 being I definitely need to buy this and play it as soon as possible.
So
that is how we do the review scores. None of this, oh, 9.76 and this game is 7.254. It's like, what are you on about?
So I just want to mention like my slight criticisms on Amnesia quickly.
Can we just get moving?
Okay,
on?
Okay. So for a game that kind of encourages you to play it in the dark, the journal screens and the loading screens are way too bright. So they're like in your face bright. So you're playing a game in the dark.
In your face.
And then you press the journal button and it's like, ah, my eyes, what am I looking at? So they should have toned down that a little bit. In Dark Descent, it was a lot more easier on the eyes, whereas in Machine for Pigs, it does really hurt your eyes because your eyes, of course, become accustomed to the dark and you've been used to seeing all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, your eyes have been kind of
exposed
to this bright light, and then of course when you close it you've got to get accustomed again to it, which isn't that bad, but I found it a bit annoying because I wanted to read the journal entries and read more into the story, but I also didn't want to hurt my eyes, which is why my eyes were killing me after playing it for like 3 days straight, well, 3 evenings straight. I do highly recommend you play in the dark, though. I tried playing it on a monitor in a lit room, and it was so hard to see anything without turning the gamma up, and I refused to not turn up the gamma. The other thing is that, sadly, the enemies are, the pigs, are a little bit more scripted than I would have thought. And they've got very easy patterns to distinguish, and I would have thought they would have been a bit more erratic. But yeah. Otherwise, yeah, I really enjoyed it. There was no explanation of their dark and light system because there's no like UI on screen or anything like that. The only UI that pops up is like the journal image to say you've got a new journal entry. But yeah, I didn't really understand what the light and dark system was at first. However, I think is if you're in the dark, you're fine. You're safe. If you're in the light and something sees you, you're screwed.
Okay, so yeah, check out that game. It's awesome. Not available on consoles. And until next week, we'll see everyone later.
Yeah.